Let's stand together and sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23, and we are near the end of our study in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 23, and just give you a heads up, over the next few weeks we'll look at a few of the Psalms in Sunday worship, and then we'll begin a sermon series on 1 Peter at the end of August, beginning of September. So, Lord willing, there'll be this sermon and then one more sermon next week in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 23, this is God's word. A long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, "I am now old and well advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all the nations for your sake. For it's the Lord your God who fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain, along with all the nations that I have already cut off, from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land, just as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very strong to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God just as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations, and as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as He promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you and make marriages with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. But they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land, good ground that the Lord your God has given you. And now I am about to go the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and your souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one of them has failed. But just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until He has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you. If you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that He has given to you." We know, but it is a precious reminder to hear, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word and for this book and this history of your being with your people Israel and giving them the promised land. I pray that as we hear this final appeal of your man Joshua, that we would respond in faith, that we would respond in covenant faithfulness and dependence upon Jesus Christ, our Savior. We can't do it alone. We need you, God. And so we pray that you would help us In Jesus' name, amen. Paging Smith, party of two. This is the last and final boarding call for flight 2137 to Houston. Please report to gate A for immediate departure. The boarding doors will close in 1 minute and will not reopen. Maybe you've heard that before. Maybe you've seen somebody running up to the gate at the last second. What about the bill that you forgot to pay? And then you get this letter in the mail, and you open it up, and in red across the top it says, "Final notice before collections." And you think, oh no, I better pay my bills. We know all about last calls and final appeals. And in Joshua chapters 23 and 24, they're really one final appeal in two parts by Joshua to the people of Israel to maintain and pursue and be very carefully committed to covenant faithfulness. In chapter 23, Joshua pleads with the leaders of Israel to prioritize covenant faithfulness to God. And in chapter 24, he leads the people of Israel in another covenant renewal ceremony. And his last call, his final words, are full of urgency and passion because of the timing. He's about to go the way of all the earth. His life is wrapping up. And also because of the message, covenant faithfulness is of utmost importance. Beloved, we need to heed and hear these last words, this final appeal of Joshua, because there are so many distractions in our lives. There is so much noise. There are so many voices from every direction telling us over and over again, this is what matters most. This is what you really need. Here's the answer to all of your problems. And so Joshua pleads with the leaders of Israel, like a loving father, a loving grandfather near the end of his life. He's someone that they know, someone that they trust. And he essentially says, you need to camp out here. You need to remember. You need to put down roots with this promise that the Lord God, is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. No matter what else is going on, through the ups and downs of life, through the greatest joys and the deepest sorrows, Joshua is telling them and he's telling us, remember God's covenant love for you and respond in covenant faithfulness to him. Brothers and sisters, is Jesus Christ and the good news of his gospel the most important reality in your life? Do you know and believe that he's the pearl of great price, the treasure hidden in the field? Do you know and believe that he is the bread of life and the living water, that he's the resurrection and the life, that he's the vine and we are the branches, that we can do nothing apart from him? I imagine most everyone in this room, that is your profession, your aim, your heart. If so, therefore, Joshua's final appeal to the Israelites comes to us. Be very strong. Be very careful to maintain and pursue and prioritize and prize covenant faithfulness to God. Does your life do the words and the actions and the attitudes and the decisions and the direction and the vibe of your life, do they reflect and declare that you are committed to walking in covenant faithfulness to God? Let's use this appeal to capitalize, to retune and recalibrate our hearts around God's covenant faithfulness to us and our desire, the privilege, the calling that we have to live in covenant with God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we need Jesus to do this. We can't do it on our own. So let's look at the passage together. First thing I want us to see is to remember God's covenant faithfulness. We see this in verses 1 through 5. And this is not new. It is not a novel message. We've heard it over and over again, week in and week out. Remember God's covenant faithfulness to you. We are forgetful people. We forget things all the time. We have a regular habit And we go through regular bouts of spiritual amnesia. Don't forget, but remember God's covenant faithfulness. Look at verse 1. When? A long time afterwards. We're not sure about the timing and the chronology here, but a long time has passed since Joshua called this convocation at Shiloh and divided the land, and there's been some water under the bridge, and God has continued to give rest to His people, and that in and of itself is a testament to His covenant faithfulness. There are a couple players in this passage. They're familiar faces. Joshua, we know him. We've seen him throughout this book. We saw him in the first five books of the Bible as well. What's new here is that Joshua is about to die. He tells it like it is. He says, I'm old. I'm advanced in years. In Joshua 13, God reminded Joshua that he was old. And now we're in Joshua 23, so he must be really, really old. And these are his final words. And he reaches out to the leaders of Israel. He summons and convenes a meeting of all the leaders of Israel, the elders, the heads, the judges, the officers. And this was Joshua's leadership style. This is the way that he led. Even back in chapter 1, he told the officers to do this. He had the people do that. And so he's committed, even in old age, to equip the leaders to do the work of ministry. And what does he say? What does he want the leaders of Israel to remember? Well, he says, remember what God has done in the past. Remember what the Lord God did to the nations, verse 3. For your sake he drove them out. He gave them victory because of his covenant faithfulness to you and your fathers. That's why you have the victory. He loves you. He cares for you. He fought for you. The list of God's faithfulness to the people of Israel runs deep. And it has sprouts and runners and roots. It's layered. It goes in all different directions. The same is true for us. Think about how God has been faithful and good and kind to you. Think about how wide and long and high and deep the love of God is for us. Look and behold, remember what God has done in the past. Remember also what God is doing in the present. God is working now. He is currently working. They are actively experiencing rest from their enemies. He is presently providing for the people of Israel. He was with us in the past, and He is with us now. Sometimes for us, it's hard to have perspective about God's current work in our lives. We can focus and fixate on the problems and the issues, what needs to change. We can miss the forest for the trees. Maybe there's so much longing for the way things used to be. Or maybe there's so much hope for the future that the present just kind of gets lost in the shuffle. We must remember and remind each other what God is doing now. This is why we need each other to come and look us in the face and say, God's working in your life. I can see it. Keep going. Keep moving forward on mission, on message. Be faithful. Encourage one another as we see the day approaching. And remember also that what God will do in the future. Verse 5, He gave them rest from their enemies, but He also called them to embrace this promise. The Lord will push back the people and drive them out. This is about the future. This is an ongoing promise. The people of Canaan will likely try to regroup and creep back into their old homeland where the remnants of the Canaanites arise. And when they arise and they try to take back their cities and their villages and their vineyards, remember these promises of God about the future. God has been with you. God is with you. God will be with you. Brothers and sisters, I charge and challenge you to remember and rely on God's covenant faithfulness in the past, in the present, and in the future. We live between the cross and the culmination of all things. We live between the resurrection and the return of Jesus Christ. We live in the already and the not yet. God has been faithful. God is faithful. God will be faithful. So keep trusting and keep following and keep moving forward with Him. That's the first part that we see. Remember God's covenant faithfulness, but we also have a call to respond. Verses 6 through 11, respond to God's covenant faithfulness. We're called to action. Joshua's words and works here, these are not just facts to know or details to remember. God's promises, God's work, His love, His redemption, they demand a response. So what does Joshua say in his final appeal? What are some of the last words for Israel? Therefore, since God has been so faithful to you, be very strong. Verse 6. You hear the echoes of Joshua 1, God's charge and command to Joshua back at the very beginning. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you for wherever you go. And Joshua's plea and his appeal is similar here. And it's not really a call to physical strength. He's not saying, don't skip leg day. Joshua 1 and Joshua 23 are a call to be strong in the Lord, to be strong in God's commandments, to beef up and to bulk up in the law of God. Not just knowing it, but he goes on to give this very helpful image and illustration of how we embrace this call to be strong in the Lord. Don't turn aside, it says in verse 6. Don't turn aside to the right hand nor to the left. Stay in the center. Parents, do you remember teaching your teenagers how to drive? We made it, guys. We made it. A lot of times, depending on your child, some would kind of hug the side of the road, and every mailbox you passed, you just cringed. And then others were right on the yellow line. And every car that passed, your life passed before your eyes. And the challenge is getting them to drive in the middle of the lane. And here, this command is so encouraging and simple. Be strong to keep all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning neither to the right nor to the left. Like, keep it between the ditches. Keep it central to your life. God's ways and God's word. Walk in God's love and walk in His commandments and make this your priority. This is one of the ways that we respond. Don't dabble in sin, stay on course. And verse 7, he goes on to say what not to do. He says, don't mix. Don't mix with these nations. Joshua goes further to explain what this strength of the Lord and His commandments means. It says, don't mix with the nations that remain among you. Yes, there will be pockets of pagan people around you. You will come in contact with them. The issue isn't them as people. It's not the color of their skin or their ethnicity. It's that they worship and serve false gods. They worship and serve worthless idols. And you'll be tempted to speak of their gods and to swear by their gods and to serve their gods and to bow down to their gods. And you see the progression. At first, it may seem harmless and innocent. Well, of course I serve Yahweh. And Him alone, I just mention these other gods every now and then, and then soon, you know, I swear by them just to connect with the culture. And then I serve them, and I bow down to these gods, but I really serve the Lord Yahweh in my heart. And what Joshua is telling the people of Israel and us is, don't put yourselves in compromising positions with the Canaanite nations. They will lead you astray from serving the true and living God. The same appeal applies to us. You remember 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So don't do that. But this is the positive game plan, how we respond in covenant faithfulness to God, verses 8 through 11. Keep clinging to Him, just as you have done to this day. Keep clinging to God. Keep holding on to. Don't let go. Don't let up. Know that He's holding on to you as well. Verse 9, remember God's covenant faithfulness. Verse 10, keep resting in His power. No man has been able to stand against you. You, one person, cause 1,000 people to run away. Why? Because you're amazing? Because we have the greatest army that the world has ever known? No. It's because God is fighting for you. Remember His promises. And then verse 11, very similar to many of the things we talked about in chapter 22. Be very careful to love the Lord your God. Love from God and love for God are the keys for us to maintain covenant faithfulness with Him. And we know these words from 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, if I have all faith as to move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all that I have away, if I deliver my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. How did Jesus sum up the whole law? Love God and love others. Love binds it all together. It's the ultimate core response which spills over and impacts every area of our life. He said in John 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the response. We rest in the love of God and we love God back. And then lastly, I want us to see the reality of God's covenant faithfulness. In this final appeal, Joshua not only appeals for them to remember and respond to God's covenant faithfulness, he speaks plainly and clearly. He speaks in full disclosure about the reality of God's covenant faithfulness. You need to remember this negatively. If you forsake the Lord, if you turn back, if you cling to the nations and their pagan gods, keep this reality check in mind. The Lord will no longer drive them out. If you feed the flesh and worship and serve foreign gods, the Lord will remove His protecting and restraining hand from you. He'll give you what you want. Be careful. This is how it will play out. And this image is so powerful. They will be a snare to you. And they'll trip you up, hooked, trapped, will be caught up in their net of sinful satanic idolatry. Then what? They will be whips to your sides and thorns in your eyes. I mean, how powerful and graphic is that? Pagan worship and sinful self-indulgence leads to painful, traumatic, regretful enslavement. And the end game is that you will perish off the good land that the Lord your God has given you. James describes this downward spiral of sin and temptation. James 1:14, each person is tempted when he's lured away and enticed by his own desires. Then when desire has given birth, conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. This is a reality check about God's covenant faithfulness. If we neglect Him, if we turn back, if we forsake the Lord, the anger of the Lord will be kindled against us. This is an important part of the reality that we see. God's covenant faithfulness is real. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. But if you systematically reject and ignore and take God's mercy and kindness for granted, don't be surprised when the anger of God is kindled against you and He destroys you off the land. This is what John the Baptist preached. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. John 15, every branch that does not bear fruit will be cut off and thrown into the fire. Beloved, we need to take this warning seriously. When we live in sin and for sin, when we stop embracing Christ and utilizing the means of grace, It is not a sum-zero game. It's not neutral. What happens is we dangerously drift away from God. We must remain, as it says in Acts 13, we must remain in the grace of God. Galatians 6 reminds us, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he also reaps. For one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So that's part of the negative reality check that we see clearly from this passage. But there's also this beautiful, positive reminder. As serious and somber as the negative warnings and this reality check is, Joshua also spotlights the personal, positive truth and reality of God's covenant faithfulness. The majestic beauty and glory and goodness of God's covenant love is magnetic, and it's transformational, and it's dynamic. It is not just information that's abstract. It's not a set of facts that we learned for a test. It's real, it's personal, it's powerful, it's life-changing. He essentially says what the psalmist would later write, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." You know God's covenant love. You know God's covenant faithfulness. It says it in verse 14, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth, but you know in your hearts and in your souls, every one of you, every single person who can hear my voice, you all know personally that not one word has failed of all God's good promises. All have come to pass. Not one of them has failed. You have sensed and tasted and touched and heard and felt the good and gracious power, provision, presence of Yahweh among us. He's with us. He's to us. He's through us. He's for us. God's covenant faithfulness is what enabled David. Think about this. This is what enabled David in Psalm 56 when he was running for his life, when he ran to Gath for safety, Goliath's hometown. You know it must have been bad if he went to Goliath's hometown to find safety, and he was living in a cage and he was running for his life, and the covenant faithfulness of God is what enabled him to say, "This I know, God is for me." Beloved, if God is for us, who can stand against us? God's covenant promises are bigger and broader and deeper and wider and longer and higher than we can ever imagine. What a joy and privilege to live in covenant faithfulness to Him. As we close, I want to ask a few personal questions. And as you answer these questions, it will be tempting, but don't answer them out loud. But as you answer them, my sense is that they will begin to stack up in your heart and in your mind. Think about God's covenant faithfulness. Did God make you? Has God sustained you? Has God given you your daily bread? Has God been kind to you and gracious to you? Has God been patient with you and generous with you? Has God been faithful to you? Has God forgiven you? Has God washed you and cared for you and uplifted you and sustained you? Has God provided for you? Is God walking with you? Has God rescued you and redeemed you? Was God born in a manger for you? Did God live a perfect life for you? Did He die a sacrificial, cruel death on the cross for you? Did He rise again on the third day for you? I hope your answer to all those questions is yes. Yes, yes, and that's all evidence of the overwhelming bottom line that God loves you and God is for you. And the final call and appeal is that God has kept His covenant promises to us. Let us take heed to Joshua's final call and live by faith, yes, with plenty of hiccups and stumbles along the way, but in covenant faithfulness and humility and repentance and dependence upon God. We can't keep covenant on our own. We need Him. We need Him. You know, Jesus had His own version of a final call to His disciples in the upper room. Remember some of the things He said? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. These things I have spoken to you, that My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. These things I've commanded you, so that you will love one another. I have said these things to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Let's pray. God, we thank You for the plea that Joshua gave to the people of Israel, to the leaders. And we pray that You would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive this appeal to Your faithfulness. Help us to respond by loving You back. You've loved us first. Help us to love You in return, and to walk in Your commandments and to follow Your ways. Help us to prioritize Your commandments and Your mission and Your message. Forgive us when we fail. We need You, Jesus. We can't do it on our own. We pray in Your precious name. Amen. Let's stand together and we will sing.